This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Today is the last day of India's five-week-long national election. More than 800 million eligible voters, all told. And results are expected, amazingly enough on that, by Friday. The capital city of the world's biggest democracy and one of its biggest economies is the subject of a new book by Rana Dasgupta. It's called Capital, The Eruption of Delhi. Rana, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You are not originally from Delhi, are you?
No, I moved there when I was about 29 years old, which was 14 years ago.
So what was it about Delhi that brought out of you this book, which is, and here are some words not often heard on this broadcast, it is lyrical, it is imagery-filled, it is, it's dense, right? It's thick, it's a tough read, but it's really interesting. What was it about Delhi that made you write it?
The city that I lived in had turned during that time from a kind of administrative town into a hub of the global economy. It had produced billionaire fortunes. Hundreds of thousands of people had been moved out of the city from slums. And I thought it was a chapter in the kind of onward march of capitalism that needed to be written about and recorded.
You actually say that this is this book is about the rising middle class, that slice of the Indian economy that has benefited the most from globalization, yes?
Yes, I mean, they're the people who, in a way, I think, tell people in other parts of the world who are not in India witnessing these things what might happen to their world under the influence of these new emerging centers. And it felt to me that as India and other places like it rose to positions of influence within the global economy, I felt that everyone's world was going to change and these people were going to alter the system they were in.
What happens then to Delhi, though, as, you know, you get Starbucks on every street corner, you know, by the India Gate, and there are Amazons and Kentucky Fried Chickens and all of that stuff, and one day Delhi looks like Berlin or Manhattan?
Well, one of the things I think I'm trying to say is that that's only partly true, that we do have all those things now that you just listed. But I think that those things are not the same things in these new places as they were in the old. They mean different things to people. We also have an economic structure that's very different. We have still a lot of poor people. India is a poor country. And so these things arise in sort of islands, middle-class islands within a large country that's not like that for most people. And I think what the book is trying to say is that there's nothing about the Western past that instructs us about the Asian future. The Asian future is unwritten. And to some extent, the formation that we see in a place like Delhi of great inequality, I see this actually as a hyper-modern situation. These are the things that even European countries are very concerned about right now.
And not just Europeans, I will tell you, right? I mean, you know, that seems to be a universal theme.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, your line about the Western past and the Asian future hit me because one thing that comes out clearly in this book is how so much of what happens in India and Delhi today is still influenced by British imperialism and what happened 100-and-some-odd years ago.
Many countries like China and India, they have very different histories to the Western history. I mean, for two centuries or so, our global system has been run by first European countries and then by America. And we've had this sense, which was, of course, deliberate, that all countries that became modern would become Western. I think this is the idea that's breaking down now as we start to realize that there are very modern countries that are very successful in the global economy that have no intention of becoming Western at all.
This is, I probably should have said this earlier, this is a work of nonfiction, yet you are a novelist and a short story writer. What made you do it this way instead of a different way?
Well, my sense is that we are all of us, wherever we are in the world, we are entering an era that we don't really know, whose rules we don't really know. We don't really know, for instance, if we're going to live in a Chinese civilization in the coming century, what will it mean to be in America when America is no longer the first economy of the world? I mean, it has been since about 1900. So no one is alive who's ever lived in a world in which America is not the biggest economy in the world. But most of us will be alive when that ceases to be the case. And in writing this book, I felt that I shouldn't preempt the reality. I shouldn't try and make it up and write a novel about it. I should actually go and talk to people and find out what's going on, because I felt it was probably stranger than I could imagine. Hmm. And that if I were to speak to people around me who were imagining new things for themselves at every scale of possibility, that I would discover much, much weirder and more wonderful things about how the future was unfolding than I could just make up on my own.
The latest book by Rana Dasgupta is called Capital, The Eruption of Delhi. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.